Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, yes, indeed. Good Tuesday afternoon. It is Election Day in the nation's capital and the United States of America, and we are glad you elected to be with us on this Tuesday, because it's also NFL trade deadline, baby, and we've got huge breaking news right off the bat. Before we even say hello to the DOC, the Washington Commanders have struck, baby. Hello, Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints. Four-time Pro Bowl cornerback Marshawn Lattimore heading to the Washington Commanders. There was apparently at least a four-team derby for Lattimore to be acquired from the 2-7 Saints. Washington went hard. All the reports coming in, they apparently traded a third-rounder. We're not sure which of the two third-round picks, whether it be the one through Miami and ultimately the one they got from Philadelphia for Jahan Dotson or their own. We're trying to figure that all out. But they apparently did it for a third rounder. They are 7-2. They got a corner that likes to play man coverage. Again, mentioned four-time Pro Bowler. Mentioned he is the veteran juice, if you will, that you needed without going all in and crazy and over the top and sacrificing your future. And with that, we say good afternoon to the DOC. Doc, how about that? In between Coach Sheehan's end of the show and our start, Marshawn Lattimore, as we had kind of like been hearing all morning, becomes unofficially a Washington Commander.
Hey, man, our front office, they approve it of it. I approve of it. If you don't trust them now, you never will, and why wouldn't you? And from a defensive standpoint, proof is in the pudding, because it's not just that he's a good corner. It's that he's a good guy. He's not a jackass. So they're bringing in a guy that fits their culture and can also play. And it's at this third most coveted position in the sport.
Yeah.
Cornerback. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Well, it was their number one need. We all knew that, correct? The only other way you would solve that would be to add a pass rushing edge stud, dynamo, to bolster that. And even that's not a guarantee, because that dude's not going to obviously be causing havoc on every snap. Whereas Marshawn Lattimore, it absolutely helps. But Marshawn Lattimore is a guy who can help you on every snap. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to get beat. That doesn't mean he's going to be, that he's not going to drive you crazy from time to time. Every cornerback gets beat. Every cornerback makes penalties or gets penalties. But Marshawn Lattimore, if he's on the field, then that's been a little bit of an issue. We'll tackle that as we go along here. Marshawn Lattimore immediately not only makes you better, Doc, it not only solves your number one problem, but it also signals to the rest of the NFL, and they could make another trade here. The deadline's not until 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It signals to the rest of the NFL that the Commanders believe, just like a lot of us believe, that they are not only a good team, but they think they are a very good team and on the precipice of being great. Whether that happens this year or not, don't know. Marshawn Lattimore makes them a lot better. He immediately becomes their number one corner. And it makes everyone else better, Doc, if you think about this, right? Now you can move Sandra Still, if you want, back inside. Because you have St. Juste, who's been masquerading, not his fault, as your number one corner.
I like him.
Right? Yeah. But he's not a number one. And he's a pending free agent. Mm-hmm. He's not a number one. And why put that pressure on him?
Well, I look at it completely differently. It's, to me, what he gives you is now he wrecks your look, you got a number one in Dallas, number one in New York, and a number one in Philadelphia that you can't cover. That just changed that game plan now. Now when we play those people, we play twice every stinking year.
Yeah.
Now they approach you differently. That's why he's worth his weight in gold.
Lattimore.
Because you had no option for somebody you played twice.
Yes.
You can't cover their aces.
Well, correct.
So absolutely. Now you got a chance.
But now you don't have to ask Benjamin St. Juste to do all that. Not by himself.
He's not built for that.
Right.
That's your fault that you didn't have someone because you failed on your number one pick.
Well,
the kid from Mississippi State.
That's your guy, Ron Rivera.
But I'm just saying, your failures in the past
put
your team, exposed your team. Because you don't have and didn't have, you're gaining a premier rush in. But every really good team already has one.
Yeah.
So these are benchmarks. All champions have one. Kansas City won last night. Yeah, they got Pat. But that big number 95 on their defensive line, he comes through on demand every stinking time when you need him most.
Yeah, the Commanders still don't have that. They don't have a war daddy like that.
Right.
But they have a group of guys that are getting better and getting there.
Well, you know, it's unfair to pick the best guy in the league and say what you don't have. I'm answering your question. What Lattimore does for me, see, I only believe I'm a divisional guy first. I only care about who we play twice.
Right.
And if they're better than we are, and we haven't beaten them. So to me, it covers a big gap within our division that we don't match up against their ones.
Yeah.
We've been slaughtered by them.
Well, specific to next Thursday night. Because you've already disposed of the Giants. The Cowboys are coming, but they're not going to have Dak Prescott for at least the first matchup
without him,
of the
without
two.
Dak.
But they have CeeDee Lamb and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore might not play this Sunday, but my guess is he will.
Is he injured?
Against the Steelers? Well, just because he's getting here on
it's
tonight.
Football. If he's not injured, I'm just saying it's football.
Maybe he does. I assume he'll play, but I don't know. But I know he will play.
Bet against him not playing that.
Fine. Okay. I know he will play next Thursday night in Philly, which, to your point, immediately gives you an upgraded answer to trying to defend A.J. Brown.
Yeah. We all think differently. We all have our own set of criteria to build up who we are. Everybody has the right to do it their own way. I'm here for a reason. And so the reason today is to tell you strategically from the inside out why I think this is a slam dunk. And I'm not surprised by it because our people over there know what they're doing now. And they show it over and over again. The beauty that our fan base has got to respect is that he accepted it. It's not that they went after him. Hell, they've been going after everybody. But now people don't give you the finger. They shake their hand out and say thank you. So now we've become attractive as opposed to being the plague. So it's a whole new ball game now. So now strategically, it's nothing personal. We're upgrading at every respectable position we can.
All right, that is Rick Doc Walker. We are just getting rocking and rolling, and here's the layout. We obviously knew that this was a possibility. We had a show planned out for you already that is going to feature two prominent NFL analysts. Devin McCourty, three-time Super Bowl champion and current Westwood One analyst. He'll be on the call for the Ravens and the Bengals this Thursday night. But more importantly, he was on the call for the Giants and Pittsburgh last Monday night, which is Pittsburgh, of course, the upcoming opponent. And, oh, by the way, he'll be able to weigh in on Marshawn Lattimore now that trade is being reported. And then Charles Davis, who will call the game with Ian Eagle on CBS, this Sunday at Northwest Stadium, back-to-back, scheduled, so we will have both premier top analysts, and then we will be able to take your call on the Marshawn Lattimore trade, which is coming up, which is not official yet, but which is reported. JT?
I was going to say, so some of the details are out on the trade.
I've just seen third-round pick. I haven't seen which one.
So, via Adam Schefter, Commanders are trading a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick to the Saints. Mm. Washington gets Lattimore and the Saints' fifth-round pick back.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to need some time to process that because they got a sixth for John Ridgeway from New Orleans. Either way, we'll sort it all out, but here's what we know. Marshawn Lattimore is coming to Washington. Here's what we know. The Commanders are for bleeping real. Coming up next, we'll talk to three-time Super Bowl champion defensive back Devin McCourty of the McCourty Twins, as you know, and of Westwood One. We'll ask him about Marshawn Lattimore and how much sense this makes. Presume he think it make a lot of sense. We'll ask him about everything else too. And again, he was on the call for Pittsburgh and the Giants, so he got a real good firsthand look at the Steelers last Monday night. That is straight ahead right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday afternoon. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, is in the house for the entire show, as he is each and every Tuesday. And boy, do we have a start to this show. Not only is Marshawn Lattimore reportedly on his way, according to all the national insiders, to the Washington Commanders, but we have the rest of trade deadline day. We have the Steelers coming into town. I have a 7-2 team, and we have one of the best analysts and best players that I got to watch from afar. Of course, a lot on TV a couple of times in person. Three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowl defensive back from Westwood One Sports, Devin McCourty joins us here on the BetQL guest hotline. Devin, it's Chris Russell and Rick Doc Walker. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you. How are you?
Hey, Dev.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I could hear the excitement with the Lattimore trade, so happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's perfect timing for us, so we'll start right there. Marshawn Lattimore is a four-time Pro Bowler. I know he's had some injury issues. I know he's a little bit up there in age, but I assume you like this deal for the Commanders?
Yeah, and I think especially when you get players that are not as young as they once were, it just makes more sense when they're in an environment where they can win. Lattimore's not – he's not – old. He's 28 years old, so you're not getting like this older player who's on his last leg. I think you're getting a guy who needed a fresh start, needed out of New Orleans, where, you know, they had some good years, but I think their team overall, especially their defense, is an aging defense. The season doesn't look like it's going to get turned around. So I think you're honestly going to get probably the best version of Marshawn Lattimore coming into a team with a quarterback and a team that's played really well this year, and everything's right in front of them. So I think it's a really good move by Washington.
How about in terms of scheme? You played for the master. So how do you see Washington's scheme defensively and what they want to be and him having the ability to enhance that?
Yeah, I think he has the ability to go out there, and I think you saw throughout his career the matchups he took on. He was a guy that sometimes they would match him, play man-to-man, and I think – and Quinn's defense, they don't always play a ton of man. I think they play more man than in some other years. But I think his ability to go out there and cover somebody allows you as a defensive coordinator to say, okay, maybe we wouldn't have done this before, but adding a guy like this gives us the ability maybe to run some type of pressure to the opposite side, maybe lean a safety opposite and play to him. Maybe it gives you a chance that in a big moment of the game to double team a star receiver and put Lattimore on another guy, and you think Lattimore can take away their number two and you double the number one. So to me, anytime you get a guy like this, in my career, we had Stephon Gilmore come. We traded for Aqib Talib. Played with Darrell Revis for a year. Our defenses weren't the same before those guys. When we got those guys, we added different things. We mixed some things in because of the abilities and the strengths that they had. So I think Washington, I have to use Marshon Lattimore's skill set a little bit different than they've done probably with some of the other guys they've had there and what they've done this season. But it gives you another thing that you could do down the stretch to make it more complicated for different offenses you play.
Devin McCourty, three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler, analyst for Westwood One Sports. He'll be on the call Thursday Night Football, Baltimore and Cincinnati, and was on the call, as we mentioned, last Monday night in Pittsburgh for the Steelers and the Giants, the two wraparound opponents here of the Commanders. We'll get to the Steelers in a second. But Devin, you just mentioned all the different moves you guys made, and everybody remembers, obviously, a bunch of those moves. How difficult was it when you're coming into a situation, and especially a complex defense like Bill used to run, and maybe Quinn and Joe Witt Jr.'s defense is not as complicated, I don't know. How difficult is it to kind of get comfortable mentally, physically, maybe even emotionally, when your head's spinning and you're trying to learn not only your playbook, but an entire new locker room and organization?
You know, the interesting thing sometimes is, I know in New England it was like that. Sometimes it was easier for you to come during the season because you just learned the things you needed to know to go through that game. You didn't have to learn all of the playbook and have to know all these little intricacies of the defense. You just need to know how you need to perform that week, the different roles, the different tasks you had. So the cool thing I think about the locker room, and I know Doc knows, is you kind of fit in no matter what locker room you're in. As long as you're a hard worker, you love to study, and you love to play the game of football. So I think the locker room will welcome Marshon Lattimore with open arms, and then he'll have to do the rest. But to me, you don't see many times where that holds a guy back from learning or going out there and playing. You kind of find a common ground of language and lingo that different guys use, and you'll kind of bridge that over until you kind of get more and more comfortable. But you also see throughout this league, there's usually some connection somewhere where guys feel a little bit at home because they had a guy they played with in college or a coach. So I don't think that'll be an issue for Lattimore. He'll find a way to get in there. We see Hopkins. He's only a week and a half in Kansas City. He had two touchdowns last night. So teams do a really good job catching everybody up to speed.
You get the vibe, and that's why I enjoy your work. When you watch Washington and other teams that are upstart, they're in the middle of conversion, they have bought in. Why is this group different? And why, in your estimation, why has it worked when so many others have failed in the past?
I thought it was interesting working with Jason Garrett. He went to Washington and went down to training camp. And he said when it first started, before they got into the X's and O's and everything like that, said Dan Quinn brought everybody in, and he talked about getting to know each other. He talked about building this culture, playing for one another. And I think those things, especially from the outside looking in, all of the things that you heard coming out of Washington over the last few years, the Snyder regime, I think that was key for this team to come in and understand, hey, whatever's happened in the past, all of that is out. We're new from top to bottom, and this is how we're building this organization up. This is going to be our brand of football. This is going to be our brand of people. And I think when you have something like that, and then you bring in the guys like Bobby Wagner and guys like Zach Ertz, you bring in guys who have played on championship teams, the high-character guys, I think across your locker room, you now set a tone that, hey, football is going to be important. It's going to be the most important thing we do. But being good people is going to be important. And I think when you watch this team play, they're playing for one another. They obviously have a young rookie quarterback who has shown to be a stud. And I think that brings excitement from everybody. It makes you work a little bit harder, study a little bit longer, because you now know you actually have a shot to win. And I think that's what they've done. They started from the bottom with some of the most simple things you can do as far as building a team, no matter if you're talking about football or any kind of team. And I think you're seeing the payoff now during the season.
No doubt. Three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowl corner, Westwood One analyst. He'll be on the call Thursday night with the Birdman, Ian Eagle, on Westwood One Odyssey. All that for the Ravens and Cincinnati. Was on the call for the Giants in Pittsburgh last Monday night. Devin McCourty is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter or X at Devin McCourty. And, of course, part of the McCourty twins. And just everybody knows who Devin is. Great stuff here. So you just mentioned the young quarterback, Devin. Before we, before we wrap this up, and we really appreciate your time, Jaden Daniels. Obviously, we all know number two overall pick, LSU, big arm, mobility, fast. From a defensive back perspective, and from a Super Bowl champion perspective, like yourself, what else stands out to you in terms of why Jaden is having this immediate success besides not turning the ball over? Is it some part of his mental makeup, or is it physical, or is it just a combination of everything? How do you kind of read that out?
No, I think it's his mental approach to the game. We always watch, some of these younger quarterbacks come in that have a skill set and physical traits that allow them to make plays, whether that's running or scrambling and throwing on the run. I think when you watch Jaden Daniels, you see full control. You see hitting the back foot, ball gone. The play that sticks out in my head still to this day is still the play against Cincinnati. They send all-out blitz. He hits Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone, fading backwards. It's the understanding. Yeah, the Hail Mary's nice, how he can scramble around and throw the ball. But the play after play, the consistency of understanding, hey, once I get to the line of scrimmage, this is what the defense is in. This is our call. This is going to be what I want to go to right away. If that's not there, then I'm going to go here. If that's not there, then I can run. I can buy time. Like, he is processing the game at such a high level that it's forcing defenses to be on point every single snap. He has showed, even when they lost to Baltimore, he showed, hey, if I play against Lamar Jackson, we play against one of these dynamic offenses, we're going to go blow for blow. We're going to go back and forth with them. We're going to score. So, to me, it sticks out. You very rarely play against some young quarterbacks when they're in their rookie year, and it's tough to make it hard on them from a disguise standpoint, from a cover standpoint. And he has made it hard for defenses to come out and say, hey, we're playing a rookie quarterback. We're going to make it difficult, because he showed that he has the answers to all the tests. So, yes, he can run and all that. He has special arm talent, but his mental makeup of understanding what defenses are doing at such a young age, It's really a beauty to see.
Totally agree. And that VR stuff seems to help him a lot, and his experience, obviously, as well. So I mentioned you were on the call on Westwood One last Monday night in Pittsburgh, Giants and the Steelers. Clearly, Russell Wilson has made a major difference in their passing game, and it doesn't seem to have rocked the boat in terms of the chemistry. What else stood out to you about Pittsburgh besides that guy, T.J. Watt, I guess? Are they really good, or are they just good?
We're going to find out. I think I said that to a couple of friends of mine of, hey, like, Russ comes back, you beat the Jets, you beat the Giants, all good wins, and I think the way they're playing Russ, it's a lot of moving the pocket, bootlegs, get them outside early, and then Russ is as good as anybody, in this last 10 to 15 years playing, of throwing the ball up there and dropping in some of those deep balls. So he's done that. But, I wouldn't say the competition level has been that high of the teams they had to beat. And I'm sure coming off a bye week, they circled this game as, hey, we're going to go prove to the league that we can go win and play by playing against the Washington Commanders. So a really good test for the Commanders, a young football team that, as you're coming up, and I'm sure they'll hear from, Wagner or Ertz of, hey, this game is important. It's the biggest game of the year because it's the next game. You want to be ready to go. You want to perform. But you always want to keep things in perspective and put your best foot forward, but know that there's still games to play. So I'm really excited about this matchup. I want to see how they handle T.J. Watt, how they handle Highsmith. How do you combat, Russ throwing the deep ball, but Najee Harris in the run game being better than it was now that Russ is in there, has a threat of going deep. So should be a really good treat Sunday watching these two teams.
And you got a hell of a game Thursday night on Westwood One between the Bengals, and Joe Burrow just threw 5 touchdowns, if memory serves, and, of course, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Maybe you're just kind of getting into that matchup, but my goodness, should be a lot of points scored, I would think, in that game.
That's what I'm thinking. I think you look at this team, and, you know, I thought it was amusing watching Joe Burrow Sunday because they're destroying the Raiders, and he looks angry on the sideline. He is not happy. And I love to see that because I was like, this guy's on a mission. He knows what he wants this season. Doesn't really care about that game. It was almost like a feeling of if he could go and play Baltimore an hour or two later once that game finished, like he was ready to go. And Baltimore's pass defense has been, you know, obviously, you know, ranked the worst in the NFL. So you pair that up with going against Burrow. It seems like me and I and Eagle have fun just talking about all these touchdowns, yards, and points.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out. Usually when you think that, you get something totally opposite.
Love it.
But should be a high-flying, exciting game.
Love it. One last quick one for you. Sorry to keep you so long. Devin McCourty with us. Westwood One, again, on the call Thursday Night Football, Ravens and the Bengals. If you were Todd Bowles last night, 27 seconds left, you tie, you get the touchdown, are you going for two, or did he play it right in your eyes, even though they lost?
I'm going for two, but I think even more importantly is I wouldn't have called that timeout after Palmer got the ball down to the 1 yard line. I would have rushed to the ball and been able to run a play. You would have still had the timeout, so you could have took the clock essentially down to wherever you think you needed to take it down to get four plays ran because of that timeout. You know, maybe I take the clock down about 12 seconds. And I run a QB sneak. If we don't get in, I bang a timeout, and now we have time, you know, for three more plays at the 1 yard line. So, I would have went for two just because, you know, you watch the coin toss. As soon as the Chiefs won the coin toss, Baker Mayfield just puts his head back and looks to the sky because you're playing against that guy. Him and Andy Reid, Mahomes and Andy Reid, is just tough to beat. So. You know, everything's easier being a coach from the couch, but
no doubt.
That's the decision I thought would have been best.
Devin, thank you. This is awesome. Great to have you and perfect timing for us, which we are very appreciative of you and Westwood One for making time for us. Thank you so
Keep
much.
Up the
Great
good work,
insight.
Dad.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for having me on today.
I appreciate you. Devin McCourty joining Doc Walker and myself from Westwood One. Thanks to Mike over at Westwood One for making that available for us. Quick timeout, and then Charles Davis from CBS and NFL Network. He'll be on the call with Ian Eagle on television this Sunday for the Steelers and the Washington Commanders. We will talk to CD next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us here on a crazy Tuesday. NFL trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock, but we know this. The Commanders have already struck while the iron is hot. 7-2, they've reportedly traded for four-time Pro Bowl cornerback Marshon Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints. You just heard Devin McCourty from Westwood One break it all down with us right after the trade. Rick Doc Walker, myself, Chris Russell. But now we get the great Charles Davis, who will be on the call with Ian Eagle for CBS this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. And Charles is kind enough to make some time for us. CD, thank you so much, as always, for your time. You're so gracious and generous with it. We appreciate you, and we couldn't ask for better timing. How are you?
I'm doing well. You said you guys just talking to Dev?
Yeah.
McCourty?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Take Your Parent to School Day. You know, remember when you had to go in and show your profession and all? And you remember when you went in, you never wanted to follow some person who dealt with animals. Right? You never wanted to follow a chef.
Yeah.
And here you got me following Devin McCourty.
Sorry. Sorry. I mean, it just kind of worked out that way.
Don't let Charles
but
fool
I mean, for us, we're selfish because we, you know, Doc's won a Super Bowl, as you know. You've played, and you're one of the top analysts in the world. I'm just a know-nothing schmuck, so I'm just the lucky one here, you know?
Now, listen. You know that's not true. You're not a know nothing. What have you? You've been doing this successfully for many years.
I appreciate.
Doc is simply the man. What's up, Doc? But
hey,
the
man,
bottom line is,
you know how I'm doing. I'm enjoying it.
I know it. And Doc, I'm gonna let you jump in on this and tell me if I'm off base or not. This is the type of move that is a global move for a team. Meaning, number one, you're improving your ball club.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you're telling your locker room, we're pretty darn good, and we're going for big stuff, folks. We're not just settling for, oh, isn't this fun? We won another game this week. You've announced to your locker room that you mean business. And you've told your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day in town, folks. This is about winning and doing it well and continuing to climb and get better. I know DQ talks about progress all the time, Dan Quinn. Progress isn't always measured in wins. But this move by Adam Peters, to me, is telling everyone, yeah, we're going to measure progress in other ways, but darn it, we like winning games too.
Yeah.
This guy can help us win some games. My only question is, when does he hit the field? Because my understanding is there's a hamstring injury before he left New Orleans. When is he able to go?
Right, right.
Well, you played the game and you realize that, I was saying to Chris, this is so strategic because when you're in the East and your opponents, you play twice, and each one of them has a bona fide number one that you can't cover. So he's worth his weight in gold. You got to let him heal. Otherwise, it's not a great deal. It's just a good deal. But it's telling everybody, the future is right here, right now. This ain't about the next year. It's about now. Yeah. Seize the moment. Because the rest of this league right now is begging for somebody to come and punch him in the face.
Isn't that the truth? There's no doubt about it. I'm with you 100%. And not only are you doing that, here's what I think, too. You get people to their right spots in your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You get them to the spot that serves them best. St. Juice has battled hard all year long, man.
Love him.
Battled hard. Mm-hmm. Good football player.
Yep.
Tough kid.
Yep.
Comes to play. Well, those DPIs aren't that he's accumulating aren't there for no reason. All right? There's just always a little something extra there. And he's not a sprinter. And I'm not saying him going to cornerback two means the other guys now run 480s going against. Not what I'm saying. But it changes what he has to do week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, your ego takes a little bit of a jolt. But, deep down, Doc, each player knows who he is.
He's relieved. Right? Absolutely.
And this works out really well for Benjamin St. Juice.
Yep.
When Lattimore's healed, he goes to cornerback one and takes all the heat. Cornerback two, you're in the right spot dealing the players you're supposed to deal with, and he's giving them high-level play all year long anyway.
Yep.
Right. And Samer still was drafted to be a nickel.
Yep.
Amen.
He's born to be a nickel.
Yep.
That's how we scouted him. That's how we evaluated him.
Mm-hmm.
Him going outside just tells you what kind of kid he is and what type of player he is.
Mm-hmm.
But wait till he gets back inside.
Yep.
And now he gets – it's like putting on that coat that he likes to wear best. He's ready to roll.
So the whole
defense now gets better with everyone in the right spot.
Yeah,
believe that.
I totally agree. And that's what Doc and I were mentioning before Devin joined us and then before you joined us is it makes, like you said, St. Juice better. It makes Sandra still, if they want to put him back inside, which I presume they would, it makes Noah Igbinoghene, a guy who can play outside, inside, that top depth option, if you will, and it allows you to do whatever it is that you're doing with Emmanuel Forbes. Charles, so you mentioned the hamstring injury and whatever, so you got to be careful there. I mean, maybe he doesn't play this Sunday. Maybe he plays against the Eagles next Thursday night. Obviously, that's part of the reason, as Doc mentioned, why you go get him. Can you talk about how maybe difficult it is sometimes for a guy to fit in midway through the season? McCourty seemed to say, hey, man, it's easier because all you're doing is concentrating on what you have to worry about for that next game. But is it easier or is it difficult?
I think Devin is on target because at this stage of Marshawn Lattimore's career and life, he's a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know his background with family, wife, kids, any of that nature, but these are the things that you handle much better at the age he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a quick plan. Well, honey, I got to go to work. All right, let's say he is married. I don't know these things.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And she's thrilled because he's going to a winning franchise, mm-hmm. right? We'll worry about, do what we're going to do with the kids, this, that, and we'll have a plan, we'll do whatever. But I got to get to work. And he's not going to come to D.C. and house hunt.
Yeah.
He's not coming to D.C. to find his dentist. He's not coming to D.C. to find the community. He's coming to D.C. to play ball. He's going to find wherever the housing is, close to the facility. It'll be 24/7 ball. And he will adapt quicker that way because he'll be immersed with his teammates. Those are the faces he knows in town. And he'll be with them all the time. When he goes home at night, heck, he might go to dinner with a new teammate. He might do this. He might do that. He'll be in the playbook. He'll be in the film room. Because this guy had a real good taste of it in New Orleans early in his career
mm-hmm.
with really good teams
mm-hmm.
that could have gone to Super Bowls. and now he's sitting at 2-7. Okay, look, I'm really old, and I grew up in the New York area, and had a great superstar in basketball with the Knicks named Michael Ray Richardson.
Yep.
And you guys may remember.
Yeah, sure.
And they had that horrible losing streak.
Yep.
And they asked Michael Ray Richardson, Michael, what's going on with the team? What's happening? He had the immortal quote. You remember this, Doc?
Yep.
The ship be sinking. All time. Ship be sinking.
Yeah.
And in New Orleans, that ship had gone glug, glug, glug. And Marshawn Lattimore is thrilled.
Yeah.
Thrilled to be in D.C.
Yep.
I'm with Devin. I think he adapts quicker. And one last thing. He plays corner.
Yep.
So it's a lot easier. Cover two is cover two everywhere. Cover three, cover four, cover six, cover eight. It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your matchup stuff, yeah, you got to communicate. That happens over time. You hope the busts are minimal as you adapt. But most of it is, you got that cat, I got that cat. Let's go.
No doubt about it. Charles Davis will be on the call with Ian Eagle this Sunday afternoon, Northwest Stadium on CBS for the Steelers and the Washington Commanders. Of course, you can catch him as well on NFL Network. He's just awesome, and he's with us here on the BetQL guest hotline. So, Charles, about this, I love to keep asking questions about Lattimore and the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, about the Steelers, I don't know if you've done one of their games yet this year. I know you did a Commanders game.
We did.
Okay.
We did.
So, you got a firsthand look. Now, obviously, things have changed here over the last couple of weeks with Russell Wilson. A lot of people were critical of that move. I thought Russell Wilson would be the best fit for them, and it's turned out okay so far, and their passing game has improved. How have they been able to keep this thing all together and really not skip the beat, and maybe even gotten better?
And the interesting part is, look, Russell Wilson was going to be the starter day one if he didn't get hurt.
Correct.
So, once Justin Fields got in and they were 4-2, and by the way, our crew had the last game Justin Fields played,
okay,
which was at Las Vegas.
Okay.
They were playing well, all right? They were doing different things. The quarterback run game was prominent for them, you know, those sorts of deals. But Mike Tomlin sitting there, look, in Pittsburgh, all you hear about is we're sick and tired of hearing Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. We want to win some playoff games. Because they haven't won a playoff game since, right? Everybody knows the stats, mm-hmm, right? So they want to get past that. You think Mike Tomlin doesn't want to win a playoff game? He's sick of it, too. He's sick of making the playoffs and getting whacked in the first round. He wants to have a team. He chose to take that so-called chance, because he could have just rocked with Justin Fields and probably been a playoff team and maybe not a contender. He decided to go for it. If Russell Wilson plays the way we think he can play, and if he can get back to being that guy, we can be better than a we-just-made-the-playoffs team.
Mm.
And he took the gamble. You know, in his mind, it wasn't a gamble. In his mind, it's like, look, I'll be a playoff team one way or the other.
Right.
I'd like to be a playoff team with some juice.
Yeah.
And after the second game we saw him play, not game one. Game one was good, but those were 50-50 balls, Doc. Did my man Pickens go and make some plays?
He's a beast.
You know, right?
Yep.
All
Absolute.
Those things happened.
No doubt.
Game two, Russell was slinging it. Like, that ball was in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was happening. And you know what he's actually done? By unlocking the other guys on offense, Van Jefferson gets the ball a little bit. Freiermuth gets the ball a little bit. Heck, Austin got the ball a little bit. He's actually made Pickens better. Because the ball's going elsewhere, which opens it up for him more, and now he's getting better opportunities and more space. Russell's now unlocked him that way, plus the deep balls, all those things, and they're scoring, moving the ball, the whole thing. It's all coming together. This was a shot at greatness. Mike Tomlin was able to decide that he was going to go for it, and I loved him at the presser when they talked about how difficult it was to make that decision. And he's just kind of looking at him like, and it's like, wow, tough one, huh, coach? He goes,
yeah.
That's why I'm well compensated.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I do.
I'm so with you on that. I thought that was a pretty easy decision, but who? What do I know? The great Charles Davis is with us. Charles, you did the Carolina Commanders game. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we got to see Jaden Daniels for one time.
Right. So you didn't get to see him a lot in person, but obviously I know you do your homework and you've been watching all the tape. Is it his physical talent or his mental prowess that jumps out to you more?
It's everything. it all jumps out at me because it's the full. He's a full combo package. You know, when he decided to go back to LSU, look, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but I just want to let you know that, you know, we've all done some homework, mm-hmm. right? When he decided to go back to LSU, he told him, I'm coming back, but I got a couple conditions.
Mm.
And, you know, in this world, you're like, oh, God, that must mean he wants his NIL increase, mm-hmm. right? Or he wants this. Or he wanted the code for the building so he can get in at all hours.
Right, right.
I mean, he wanted something for ball. He wasn't asking for, hey, you guys got to hook me up here, and, you know, I want tickets to such and such in New Orleans. No. How do I play ball? Mm-hmm. And he came back, he said to Brian Kelly, his head coach, number one, what do we have to do to win a national championship? Number two, what do I have to do to be a first-round pick? I'm here for it. And that's why he did these things. He's gone the hard route. He didn't go the easy route.
Correct.
He got what he could everywhere he could to make it all work. This kid eats, breathes, sleeps ball, but he does it without the fanfare. Doc, you probably had teammates who show up at such and such a time at the facility, and they made sure everyone knew they got there at that time, didn't they?
Oh, it's just like people that contribute to charities and then take out an ad in the newspapers to tell you that they did it.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
We met the first time. We met with Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
And Ertz told us that this kid had been getting to the facility at whatever time and going through his walkthroughs behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he walked in on him going through a walkthrough, and the kid asked him, would you please not tell everyone else? Because he didn't want to look like he was, you know, performing for everyone.
Right. No,
or, hey, coach, look at me.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, take it from somebody. I don't mean to, you know, besmirch anybody, but, you know, from somebody who covered Robert Griffin III every single day in the building. You know, Charles, there's a lot of differences between the personalities, and I know they're different style quarterbacks.
I can't speak to that one.
Right.
That one's yours.
Yeah,
I can't speak to that.
But
is with Jaden Daniels,
right.
With this young man, he's what. Here I am about to be 60. He's everything I would want to be in my world.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I better hurry up and start getting there because my time's running out.
Yeah, yeah.
And this kid's just getting started.
Yeah. Actually, we just got breaking news. The Jets are trading Mike Williams, the wide receiver, to the Steelers. So the Steelers are getting another wide receiver, presumably, be able to help them this week. So that's interesting.
That's a big-time pickup for them because – them at number one with Pickens, you're kind of mixing and matching and making guys number two and mm-hmm. number three that maybe aren't number mm-hmm. two and number three. Williams can be a true two.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And how happy is he going to be going to Pittsburgh and doing this because he's gotten very bumpy in the New York
area. Yeah.
Benefit of Russ, too. That's the benefit of having Russ.
Yeah.
If Russ is in a groove – Now that makes sense.
Yeah. Charles, one last thing, and then we'll let you go. We appreciate you and your time, and you're so kind to do this for us. The two-point decision or non-two-point decision from Todd Bowles last night, I got to be honest with you, live in the moment, I didn't have a major problem with it, even though I know theoretically the statistics and all the odds are against Mahomes, this, that, and the other thing. I'm just not a gamble-at-all-cost kind of guy. Am I crazy, or did you understand at least the thought process in the decision?
No, you're not crazy, and the thought process is actually – by the book. It's actually accurate. Like, hey, don't give away the game. Make them beat you at it, right? So you kick the extra point.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to overtime, they still have to beat you. I thought Troy Aikman did a great job last night in setting it up long before we got to it. Because I'm sitting there watching the game, and my first thought was, if I get down there, and I thought it around the time Troy was saying it, I'm not saying I'm as smart as Troy, I'm just playing the game like you guys are mm-hmm. going along. I'm on the road. I'm struggling in my division. I've lost two to Atlanta, so I'm not going to win my division. But I need these games. I got to put myself in a spot that bringing back Mike Evans means something when he makes it back, right? And I'm playing the defending champs on the road, and I've played them toe-to-toe all game long. I've got it in my head I'm going for two right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've already got it in my head. And here's why. Because now I'm back to a coin toss. And if I lose the coin toss and that kid gets
checkmate.
The ball,
checkmate.
I'm dead, right? I can't count on my offense going down and scoring another touchdown because the Chiefs' defense is pretty darn good. So I can't count on that I get a touchdown and I finish them off. The Chiefs are that champion that you've got to knock out. You can't get a decision. That's why I would have thought to myself getting two. And what do I kill Todd Bowles for the decision? Absolutely not. I understand what he was thinking and doing. I just thought when you play the Chiefs and you're Tampa right now, you have to be bolder. You have to be Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. You got to go get it.
There you go.
That's great. That's a great breakdown.
Look at you.
CD, thank you so much. We can't say thank you enough. I hope we get to run into each other on Sunday at Northwest Stadium. As you know, it's a little bit of a different – it's no longer like a morgue around there. It's a little bit more back to – you know, fun football.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great atmosphere. We were there. Look, it was great atmosphere when we were there for Carolina.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of atmosphere we're going to have Sunday?
Oh, insane. Insane, especially with the Steeler Nation coming in.
And please tell me the weather's going to be okay.
Listen, it's 82 degrees here. I think we're going to be in for some good fall nice weather. I think. I'm not a meteorologist, but I think. Thank you, Charles.
Keep
appreciate you.
Out, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great to talk with Doc. So great to hear your voice.
All right, brother.
You
be
guys
good.
Be good.
All right. That is the great Charles Davis. He'll be on the call with the Birdman, I, and Eagle this Sunday on CBS, WUSA 9 for the Steelers and the Commanders. Great stuff there, obviously, on the Lattimore trade, Jaden Daniels on Todd Bowles, and more. We'll come back, wrap up the hour, and then, finally, we will get to your calls after 2 o'clock. 301-230-0980. Get lined up right now. Your reaction to Marcus... Marshawn Lattimore. Coming to the Commanders next on the Team 980. Stay with us.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.